is Margaret Gray, and this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And does my voice sound any better?
No, frankly, it doesn't.
Well, thank you very much for that vote of confidence.
Well, Margaret, it's all on me. I apologize.
Yes, it's all on me.
Yeah, you sound wonderful, Phil, but here I am just reaching and screeching.
You sound all right for now. We'll see as the hour progresses.
Hour? Well, you're really wishful thinking, aren't you?
And anyway, I'm Robert Leonard.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm General Galen Shaw.
I'm Robert Leonard.
And I'm Bud Dickman.
What?
You're Robert Leonard.
Robert Leonard. Dickman, Bud.
Dickman, Bud? God. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard and Margaret Gray and Phil Henry and, General Galen Shaw. World famous Phil Henry Show here on this, what is this, Wednesday, man? I'm going to have to check in with our good close personal friend there. What are you looking at, Margaret?
Well, you belched, for God's sake. You going to say anything?
It wasn't audible.
Margaret, no one heard it.
No one heard it, but there was a definite stutter step in your speech. You went, and I'd like to talk to you.
Yes, there's an intake of gas.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess I'm not going to apologize, nor am I going to back up and do it again, nor am I going to do anything other than fully acknowledge it happened.
Well, Phil, you can't blame me for that.
Well, yeah, Phil, you're the one that was eating that, what is that stuff? What was that stuff? I'm going to get Chef Carl Cedilli. What, Robert?
I don't want to nitpick, but you went,
yeah, there's a little bit of snot intake.
Are you guys out of your minds or something?
Hey, we didn't say we'd pick out every damn thing.
I asked you guys to keep some tissue ready for me, okay?
Yeah.
I didn't ask you to keep pointing out every damn time I snort, snot, belch, or whatever the hell else I'm doing, okay? Because I want to get through this hour, or whatever it is, Margaret, 45 minutes or 35 minutes. I want to get through it, and then I want to go and throw up. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so anyway, we are waiting for Chef Carl Cedilli because Phil's on a new kick. As you know, Phil is having a difficult time. Tell people about what's going on with the diet.
Okay, thank you, Margaret. What's going on?
Here, I'll do it. First of all,
Margaret, let me do it.
Margaret.
All right, I'm kidding around, for God's sake.
What is with you? I'm collecting my thoughts, man. It's hot in here, for God's sake.
Yeah, I came in and Bray had the heat turned up. Well, not Bray, it didn't.
I'm sure the cat turned it up.
What do you mean the heat was on?
I didn't say the heat was on. I said somebody turned the heat up.
The heat was on. That's a whole other reference.
Yeah. So what do you mean someone turned the heat up?
Someone turned the heat up.
Well, look, there's only one heater here, man, and it's over there in the kitchen because we got a space heater here, folks, because the wall heater, I don't trust it. It's a gas heater. I don't dig it. I had the gas guy turn it off, especially when we had the whole place termite inspected. And
you didn't just have it termite inspected, friend. You had it fumigated.
Well, that's true. Every house has to be fumigated at least once, and for termites, too. Oh, man.
Anyway,
so I don't want to use that wall heater, so I got a little space heater. This thing's fantastic. I wish these guys were advertisers.
What is the name of it?
You know what? I don't know. It's over there. It's in the box is in the kitchen. If they were advertisers, I'd go get the box and I'd tell you all about it. But it's the most fantastic space heater. It's small.
Yeah, this thing, it's got two speeds on it, and it doesn't pull a lot of electricity, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I'm telling you, it heats up this whole bloody downstairs. It's supposed to be just a space heater, meaning just the sort of immediate space of where you are. But I'm sweating like a damn racehorse right now.
Well, the heater's not even on. How do you know that that's it and it's not the equipment?
Could be the equipment, Mr. Henry. On account of Brea turned it up.
Knock it off, will you, bud?
All right.
Brea the Cat's down here, by the way. And on Friday nights, I guess we'll have the Brea Cam, because that was very popular, last Friday night.
Well, what Phil does is he turns the camera on Brea as she lays here and is being just a cat. And people find it very fascinating. She just climbs right up on the desk here, right?
Yeah, she did this evening, as a matter of fact, before I... What, bud?
Nothing. You made like a noise. Went.
Hey, well, you guys know I'm getting pissed off.
All right.
So she climbed up onto the board, and she must have stepped on something, because when I walked in here, the board was like blinking blue lights all over the place, but we didn't give her enough room. She gets up onto the chair, then she hops up onto the desk, and there's generally a lot of space for her over here on the left, but I guess the chair was in the wrong position, and so that and that and that and that. No, she didn't turn the heat up, so thanks very much, Bud Dickman.
You're welcome.
Got me really applauding yourself.
Nice. All right. Chef Carl Cedilli will be on, but anyway, what I was going to tell you, and to as an entree to the chef, I've been on this diet. Those of you that have been with me for any length of time know that back in 2012, I did a diet from the spring of 2012. It lasted all the way until Halloween of 2012. It was about 7 months. And I lost 80 pounds. I went from 200 and... 80 pounds.
Well, you were almost... At one point, you were over 300 pounds.
I was over 300 pounds, but when I started the diet... I dropped 16 pounds. I was at 2. I dropped 20 pounds. I was at 286. And that was just from regular exercise, but I didn't know anything about. I was being really stupid when it came to calories and all of that. And I really needed something, and I finally just hit on the idea of just counting calories. I wasn't going to do anything else. I was just going to count calories up to 2,000 a day.
So you decided randomly on the 2,000?
Well, not really, because Dr. Ald, who's my doctor, said... He has diabetics on 1,500 a day. He said, well, you don't need that. And then that was the end of what he said. He just said, you don't need 1,500. And then I kind of followed the dot, dot, dot to mean 2,000.
Do you like extrapolated?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Extrapolated means...
Never mind, I just figured it out.
Yeah, so you went to 2,000 a day, and that began your slow but inexorable descent toward 210.
Toward 210 pounds... And I reached that a week before Halloween. I went back to D.C. to visit Barry, my friend Barry, who was having surgery. And I got to D.C., and it was just on Halloween, and there I was at 210 pounds. And I'll never forget, I had been on this diet for so long that I was just eating diet-type food. It's my throat, Margaret.
All right, Phil, you went diet-type food. You know, we worry about you, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, what happens if you start to gag up? And somebody needs to give you mouth-to-mouth. Holy Jesus.
You know what, Phil? You'd think it would be a pleasant experience, but no, it isn't.
I'm not expecting anybody to give me mouth-to-mouth because I'm not going to, quote, gag up. You guys with the... What is this movie? The Boyfriend Van Heflin.
This is the film that Fred Zinnemann shows him running down an alley, and he's sweating, and he's been knifed.
Yeah, and there's a lot of dancing, and there's a lot of stagecoaches.
What are you talking about, man?
What do you mean the guy's running down an alley, he's sweating and he's been knifed, and there's stagecoaches and there's dancing?
That's what I just saw.
You saw some Fred Zinnemann movie where he's running down an alley, and this is a different movie where there's dancing and there's freaking stagecoaches running down an alley with stagecoaches and dancing.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what it looked like.
Anyway, can I finish? So... Now I don't know where the hell I was.
You were talking about the fact that 210...
Yeah. So I got down to 210 pounds, and I was in Washington, D.C., and I'm in Georgetown in a hotel, and I'm getting settled in. I'm like, okay, this is cool, you know. It's kind of a bitching hotel and everything, and I'm there. And Washington, I love Washington, D.C., and the reason why I love Washington, D.C. should be the reason why I guess anybody loves Washington, D.C., the history of the country, the great portion of the history of the country's there. I mean, if you love the country, and I'm assuming that we all do on some level, it's a cool place to go and check out where, frankly, everything started, man. There's only one other city to visit, maybe, you know, Philadelphia as well, where the country was born. New York City is another. And if you go down to Wall Street, you see the old Federal Hall there. You can also find Alexander Hamilton's grave along with Eliza there at Trinity Church.
Now, you're not talking now about Washington anymore.
I know that, Margaret. I'm on New York right now. And I would like to say at this particular time, before the musical came out, before anybody thought that Alexander Hamilton was all that in a bag of freaking pork rinds, I used to go down to Trinity Church.
Oh, here we go. And you'd visit Colonel Hamilton.
That's right. That's what I would do. I paid my respects. And every time I go to New York, I go down to Trinity Church and I pay my respects to Colonel and Mrs. Hamilton. Thank you.
Hey. Very good, Phil.
Get a brownie point for him, Mr. Henry.
That's great. So having said all that, the country, as you know, it moved the capital to Washington with the advent, the beginning of, what's his name? I should say, I'm just joking around, President Adams. And I think, yeah, it was President Adams, and then Jefferson was there too. But it's a great city. I love Washington. So when I go there, I love to go to historic places, man.
Now, you're not just talking about the Smithsonian.
No, I'm not talking. You know, everyone thinks the Smithsonian is where it's at in Washington. There's a lot of things to see there. But while I was there, I had just hit 210 pounds back a week, you know, 4 days ahead of Halloween. And it suddenly occurs to me, I don't have to be on a diet anymore.
Yeah, you'd hit your target weight.
I'd hit my target weight. And so there in the hotel, in the room, was the mini bar.
Oh, my God, Phil, you didn't.
You better believe I did. Oh, hell yeah, I did. I tore into the cookies, the Famous Amos. They had those little tiny Snickers. They had it all, man. And they had chips. And then I ordered room service.
And then you got right back up to 290 pounds.
No, I did not. But I will tell you this. And this is something to keep in mind if you are losing weight. Most everybody that goes on a diet gains the weight back. And that's because it takes experience to lose weight and to keep it off. I've done it once. I now know how to do it. And I will share that with you if you'd like. I'm not going to do it right now, so forget it. I'll share it with you guys as we sort of move along here in our, you know, time together. But what happened to me back in 2012, I just turned 6-0. I just turned the big 6, Jim. And
so you were thinking that you were dying.
No, I did not. What the hell kind of thing is that to say?
You wanted to stay healthy.
Yes. I want to stay healthy, but I also wanted to enjoy my life. So
Phil, you don't see this, folks, if you don't have the video cast. Phil is almost undressing. He's almost taking his shirt off. He's so in love with his body. Talk. Geez.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Well, you're talking all about losing weight.
Yeah, I just want to check myself out in the video cast. It's hot, goddammit. That's why I'm taking my... I'm not taking my shirt off. I'm unbuttoning it.
What? Hold on. What are you looking at, General?
I was looking to see if you were going to start. You do it all the time, popping that top button.
Oh, my God.
I'm not saying anything.
Come on, Margaret. He's not talking about anything. When you get hot, you start taking buttons apart.
What are you talking about? And that first, that opening salvo of... Phil, I really believe the weight loss, the heat, Brea, everything put together, and the cold, everything put together has grown a tumor somewhere in the front lobe of your...
Yeah, your thing.
Brain, not thing, as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted. So I'm losing this weight, I start eating, and what happens is you don't really know how to keep it off. You took it off, and it's off, and you're 210 pounds. That's my target weight. And now you're putting it back on again. Now you look at the scale, you're 216. Now you look at the scale, you're 220. And what you tell yourself is, well, I'll diet it off. But you don't really, you don't have any game plan. And you got to have a plan in place that basically says, for the rest of my life, I'm going to be watching calories, or however you do it. For the rest of my life, for most of the days of my life, I'm going to be counting those calories, and I'll give myself a break on weekends. What I found out, my experience was that I did most of the fun eating on the weekends.
Well, yeah, of course. You're going to barbecues. You're going out to dinner.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, eating ice cream, whatever, watching movies, you're going to be doing all that. During the week is when you exercise and when you keep the calorie count down and when you, you know, do all the sensible things. And that's what my plan is as soon as I get the damn weight off. Now, other than the fact I know that...
I'll do it. Phil got a hold of a bag of these Reese's Pieces the other day.
Well, you know, I've been told that...
Oh, yeah. Phil was told that if you, you know, sort of go off your diet every now and again, it's good. Watching you, basically, Phil, shove that stuff into your face, I wanted to weep. I don't know. I wanted to weep like a grandmother. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Just was...
You didn't know what you wanted to do.
So everyone here wants to die, is that it?
Margaret, you're the one pointing out everyone's damn missteps.
I'm saying you looked really pathetic shoveling that stuff back.
Well, first of all, no, I wasn't shoveling it back. I had like 5 or 6 pieces.
Oh, you had more than that?
No, that I counted them, Ms. Gray, and then the rest of them went in the garbage.
And then you threw the rest in the garbage, didn't you?
No, I didn't throw them in the garbage. I left them laying around. Nobody wanted to eat them. Then I threw them in the garbage. The point is here that I'm making is that, yeah... When you're also dieting, Foikes.
Who's Foikes?
Just some friends of mine and folks, and also the Foikes are listening. When you're also dieting, what you want to do is occasionally you can go off because that helps to sort of keep the metabolism kickstarted. Because if you're just in a starvation mode, and that's what the body perceives it to be, when you are lowering the calories, your body thinks there's a famine on. Your body begins to hold on to some of the fat. It holds on to the calories because it thinks you're going to be needing these since you're not getting a lot of food. And you have to trick the body into believing, no, there's no famine. You're not dieting. Everything's cool. So you have to occasionally, yeah, eat a meal that may be over your 2,000 or 2,500 a day. All of that stuff is very scientific. And Margaret, I don't care what you think. And no, I wasn't shoveling back the Reese's Pieces
Well, it doesn't sound very healthy to be eating Reese's Pieces, does it, General?
I don't know. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Well, what I'm talking about is what I'm talking about. So, point being, when you have finally got your weight off, the way to keep it off is to basically keep on dieting the way you were dieting, except give yourself a couple, 3 days a week or whatever to dig the things that you want to eat. Okay, I'm all done, man. I'm so ready to throw up.
Well, you know, you're doing a lot of talking, Phil, and you still got that cold.
I still have the cold. We're going to bring on Chef Carl Cedilia to talk about this chili that he made that I'm eating. And this is where, right now I'm at 215 pounds. I got 5 pounds to go.
Yeah, but Phil has been at 5 pounds.
You've been at 5 pounds, Phil, for the last 3 weeks.
You know, you sound like shit.
Thank you very much.
Well, you do. I mean,
yeah, but so do you, Mr. Henry. Well, no, not really. The only people that sound like shit when you have a cold is us.
Yeah. Yeah, so why don't you, I tell you what, Phil, why don't you start sounding like shit, too?
Why don't you guys just, when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, we got Chef Carl Cedilia.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is brought to you by
Wickham's Dental Care. Dr. Arthur Wickham, his son Tom, his brother Steve, and his wife Marge. Wickham's Dental Care. We use the good gas. We don't fool around. Teeth extracted, implants in, and your teeth are filled, all in one sitting. We've got beautiful designs on the ceiling, so when you pass out and wake up, you're looking at me. Not me, really, but a painting of me looking at you going, hi, Wickham's Dental Care. 1615 Hyde in Brimsdy Beach. Are you losing your mind? Of course you are. We all do occasionally. I'm Dr. Hans Berger, and I'm a psychiatrist. I can help you get your mind back together again. You know, the mind is almost like a book. You open it up, and you're losing it. Close it, put it back in the shelf, and everything's tight, sweet, Saturday night. I've got good drugs. Only the good drugs. Hans Berger, that's my name. Don't wear it out. Don't spread it around. Let me give you my number. I'm going to whisper it now.
555-15.
Okay, got it? If you didn't get it, tough. But that's how I kind of make you nuts. Dr. Hans Berger, proud sponsor of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'd say I was an escaped Nazi war criminal, but I'm not old enough.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
This is Chef Carl Cedilia, and I am going to be filling in here, not filling in, but talking to Phil Henry here on the Phil Henry Show about his diet, about the chili of Golden Bug Sword.
Here in Beverly Hills. Can we hear the chef? Yes, chef, are you in a nice quiet place?
Yes, I am, Phil. I'm sorry if I was a little bit, I wasn't quite on the telephone because we got a very busy kitchen.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time for us, although, you know, you said you would do this for us.
Yes, I said I would do it for you, and I've been clear, and I'm, you know, true to my word.
It's not like he's not doing it, Phil, for spite or anything.
No, I know. I feel guilty.
No, don't feel guilty. You know, I'm happy to do this. What I did was, you want me to go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just go ahead and jump into it.
Wait a minute. Wait, if you don't mind, don't just jump into it. Let me say when you jump into it. We have Chef Carl Cedilia.
Well, I'm not trying to preempt you, Phil. I just want to make sure that we get this, you know, because I'm busy.
Well, then why don't I just let you go?
No, I don't mean that.
Phil, don't get childish about it.
Phil, he's here for you.
I'm here for you. I'm just saying, let's get this show on the road.
Anyway, Chef Carl Cedilia joining us here on the Phil Henry Show. And when I was looking for something to eat that would be filling, and at the same time, not only was it going to be filling, but it was at the same time going to be very, very healthy for me and very low in calories, I asked the chef if he knew of, a good dish.
Yeah, well, and what I immediately thought of was something that would be filling.
But not high in calories.
But not high in calories, right. So I recommended to him something that is working out pretty good for you, right?
You know, I've had like 3 days worth of this. It's about 1,800 calories, and it's phenomenal. It is, it's just pinto beans.
Yeah, well, here's where I get to come in and do it, okay?
All right.
Unless you want
to... Who's doing what on this segment?
Yeah, because I'm...
Do you want to just get back to your cooking?
No, I don't. But if you're going to do this, I want to have the credit.
You understand, Phil, since Chef Cedilia invented this,
I'm not trying to preempt you, Chef. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. I'm the chef here.
You're right.
Yeah, so go ahead. So it's pinto beans. It is,
Wait a minute. It's pinto beans, it's bell peppers, it's white onion,
It is riced green broccoli. It's two cans of tomato sauce, garlic powder, onion powder, turmeric.
Now, what is turmeric?
I'm sorry?
Can't we ask questions?
I'd rather you hold the questions to...
All right, sorry.
It's turmeric. It is salt, and it is a little bit of seasoning salt. Now, that is then brought to a boil using enough water so that you've got a boilable substance in there, but you're going to have a nice, beautiful, thick stew of what we call, you know, the rice and beans, but it's not really rice. This is riced broccoli.
Now, that's an interesting thing that I found.
Whoa, sunshine, okay?
Look, Chef Chedilia, I'm here to defend you as well, but...
And by the way, your voice sounds terrible. Phil, why are you even on the air when you can't do Margaret's voice properly? I'm here, I'm telling you, look, I got my ass out of bed at about...
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm not going to listen to him, his fat ass, giving me a hard time about this, that, or something else. He's busy, he's got this, he's got... And then he's talking about how I shouldn't have been on the air here because I can't do Margaret's voice.
Well, frankly, you can't.
All right, well, then let me just tell people what it is.
You're going to be doing... This is Chef Chedilia.
Yeah. I don't give a damn if it's Chef Chedilia's. It's...
He belched again.
Yes.
Yeah, I did, folks. I belched. It is riced broccoli.
Now, what's that? Never mind.
You can go to Trader Joe's, if you got a Trader Joe's in town, or if you've got any supermarket. They will take broccoli, these companies, different companies, and they rice it. They basically chop up the broccoli until it is like rice. And you can use it as rice. You can boil it as rice. You can cook it as rice. You can saute it as rice, if you'd like. And you can put it into this sort of chili stew. What it is it's pinto beans, it's this riced broccoli.
Yeah, yes, it's onion.
Would you shut up, man, because you listen to his voice, man.
And he sounds as bad as I do.
Yeah, he sounds, the only one who sounds good is me. And I do too. And you do too, listener.
Thank you. So, Bud, you and Margaret leave.
Oh, what the?
Get going, leave.
Yeah, well. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
You might as well leave too, because you're going to hurt.
I can hear it gurgling.
Yeah, but sir, I can hear your voice gurgling. Sorry.
You take the beans, you take the riced broccoli, you take the onions, you take the chopped up pico de gallo, which is basically tomatoes. No, don't ask me any questions.
I want to know what pico de gallo is.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I'm not telling you.
Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Boy, my voice does sound bad. You take the pico de gallo, put it all together, put it in a thing and boil it.
And it sucks.
It's actually really good, and it's only 1,800 calories if you know what you're doing.
Famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. Don't I sound good?